Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Hello.
So, hello, Cheeky. Hello, Cheeky.
Hello, hello, Cheeky.
Hello. Hello. What a funny way to make a living. Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. Hello there, Cuddlesbrook Taylor here. I've just thought of a very funny joke, which I'm not going to tell you. Tantalising little minx, aren't I? Sure.
John. It is John, isn't it?
Well, near enough.
Oh, good. Well, as I was saying, Arthur, have you noticed anything strange about Tim today?
Well, apart from the ginger wig, the football boots and the false his nose. Why?
Well, I've noticed two or three odd little things.
Ah, take no notice. That's the Dennis King trio. You know, Barry, you worry too much.
I know.
Well, what are you worried about?
Well, I'm worried about the fact that I worry too much. What should I do?
Stop worrying.
Well, I thought about that, but then I couldn't decide whether to stop worrying too much or stop worrying about the fact that I was worrying too much. That began to worry me. And the wife's overdue for a 10,000-mile service.
I really wish I'd taken up the BBC's original suggestion and done this show with Robert Dougal and Kenneth Wolstenholme. I really do.
Here is a news flash. Actually, there isn't one, but I just love riding about on those things. Here I go again. News flash. Oh, news flash. Oh, news flash. Oh, news flash. News flash. News flash.
Ten.
Ten. Oh, I'm sorry. I get worse.
You dare. May we get on with the programme now, please?
Of course. Ladies and... Oh, just one more. News...
No!
Oh.
Stop it, you'll go deaf.
Pardon?
We take you over now to Milchester Football Club, where the chairman is presenting a gold watch to Norris Splatt for having been the club's manager for an unbroken 25 minutes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you for the watch.
Give it back, you're fired.
Hey, that's not fair. I've just got them together. They're strong now, merciless, full of bloodlust and trained to kill.
Our team?
No, the supporters.
Oh. That was the 10th anniversary of that joke, and in celebration, the BBC were going to inflate 20,000 balloons and play a fanfare from the household cavalry.
However, due to economies, here instead is Simbrook Taylor breathing through his nose and John Junkin going, hurrah.
Ta-da!
Just as good, I thought.
Better, better. More discreet, less flashy.
Yeah, that household cavalry are always a flashy lot.
I know, two of them are up for it again this morning.
Hello?
Hello, this, I'm a member of the household cavalry.
No, we've had dealings with you before. Are you really a member of the household cavalry?
Well, no, but I'm a member of the Brigade of Guards.
Really? What sort of a guard are you?
A black guard. 1975 Fool.
Don't you... What do you mean, April Fool?
Well, yes, but I was hoping for a repeat later in the year.
Get off!
And for those of you interested in the drama, why not enroll now in the Hello Cheeky School of Dramatic Art and Truss Welding?
Send £200 today and receive by return of post a blank sheet of paper headed How I Became a Star by Nicholas Parsons and a photograph of Sir Alec Guinness with two tiller girls.
For an extra 20p, we will include a photograph of a tiller girl with two Guinnesses.
Encyclopedia of the Air, letter L.
Lebanon, an emergent nation in the East, best remembered as the inspiration for one of the great songs of our time.
I'm Lebanon, a lamppost at the corner of the street.
And now, here is the weather forecast, read by an idiot.
Hello. Well, according to this map thing here, there's no weather.
You're looking at the back.
Or alternatively, I'm looking at the back. Oh, yes, here we are. Tomorrow, there will be slight falls of black string in Scotland, and the rest of the country will be flooded with triangles. Oh, yes. And a little arrow with a knob on it marked 25 will float up the Thames estuary. Yes. Mother wanted me to go in for the church, you know.
Here is a newsflash.
Oh, they get better. The Prime Minister said today that in these times, everyone, especially those in the public eye, must be prepared to make sacrifices and practice personal self-denial. Mrs. Wilson made him eat up his greens anyway.
Now, I would like you all to rise, stand on one leg, and face the southeast in loving memory.
Of what?
150 years ago today, whilst doing the inaugural hokey-cokey with Lady Hamilton, Lord Nelson put his left arm in and didn't get it back.
That's rubbish.
No, it isn't. I got it out of this book.
That's a cookery book.
Ah, that explains why my Yorkshire pudding looks like the Battle of Hastings.
Meanwhile, at that very battle...
Excuse me, could you direct me to Hastings, please?
Certainly, sir. Just follow the arrows.
One in the eye for him.
Could you pass me the salt, please? Oh, while you're there, the pepper and the mustard and the vinegar.
That was an excerpt from A Man for All Seasons.
Nothing's impossible, I have found.
You try getting toothpaste back in the tube.
That's a point.
What is?
The top of Dennis's head.
True. Do you know I've heard a rumour his wife gives him a haircut with a pencil sharpener?
I heard that. One more word and I'll bend forward and stab you in the leg. Hi, fans. Dennis King here, the Joe Henderson of the Jet Set. Here's a little beauty. Here's a little beauty.
Dennis, don't do that. It's not nice.
It's a joke.
Yes.
And here is another joke. John Junkin sings.
The girl who slices the bacon at the grocery shop in Kensal Rise. I long to tell her my poor heart is breaking every time that I look in her big blue eyes. When I go to buy my sugar and snipey, what she does to me, it makes me drop my cup price coupons. I've got to meet the girl at the bacon counter down at that shop in Kensal Rise. I'd rather that than a free coffee offer or the frozen tea maker's big star price. But I'm sure she'd ignore me if I got down on my knees. So I might fall in love with the girl there who slices up the cheese.
And now over to the interview studio where Podmore Gust is interviewing Mr. Helliwell Fester, Britain's champion peeping Tom.
Well now, Mr. Fester. Mr. Fester?
Peep out. I can see you.
Mr. Fester, come out of there at once, would you?
Oh, all right.
Now then, Mr. Fester, how did you acquire the title of British champion?
Well, every year, for the past 20 years, I have gone along to the Miss World competition.
Every year?
Yes. Once there was a power cut and I came second. Enough of past glories. I creep round the back where the dressing rooms are, and there I stand upon my friend, Hairy Harry from Aldgate, who is a bit silly. And I attempt to peep into the dressing room.
And do you meet with much, sir?
What? What? What?
You mean you do?
No, I was just saying what, because I couldn't hear you. It makes you go...
Yes, well, we weren't going to that. I was asking if you had had much success.
Oh, dear, oh, pray. Oh, look. I have so far seen Miss Guyana's knee, Miss Sweden's shoulder blade, and the top of Miss Italy's head. It's shaped like a boot, you know.
Italy is, yes, I know.
No, I meant Miss Italy's head.
Oh.
Once I even saw a belly button, but that was a bit of a disappointment.
Why?
It was Eric Morley's.
Oh. Finally, Mr. Fester, why do you do this?
I feel every man should have a hobby to brighten his declining years.
And how old are you?
29.
Hello, Cheeky's personal column. Advertise here and feel free. We take care of the advert, the rest you must arrange with the wife.
Henpecked idiot wishes to contact Rent-A-Kill because he thinks they're the English Mafia.
English mafia wish to contact person who wrote that joke?
Having a party, renting a disco too expensive, give me 50p and free drinks and I'll take the shoes off and hum a bit.
Next week's personal column will be a long silence as the censor doesn't like any of the jokes we've written.
And now, with a wave of my magic wand...
See, told you he was a fairy.
Shut up. Bitch. Over to a courtroom in a city which we shall call Crabthorpe to disguise the fact that it's Doncaster.
Desire Grint, the officer has testified that you did solicit men for gain from a doorway in Shaftesbury Avenue by saying, hello, cheeky, like to be naughty with an ex-land girl. What have you to say?
Your Honour, I'm actually an advanced biology teacher giving individual tuition.
I like it, I like it. Case dismissed and leave your number with the clerk of the court.
All right, darling.
And you, clerk of the court?
Yes, Mush.
Write the number with your eyes shut. I've heard about you and that district nurse from Neasden. Call the next case.
Call it what?
Call it at 7 with tea and biscuits. No wonder British justice is the envy of the world.
Call the next case.
Call the next case.
Milad. Nay, I'm prosecuting in this case.
Well, close the lid and nobody will see.
Milad! I object. We used that joke in Show 4, Series 1.
You shut your pudding muncher.
I accept your apology.
May I proceed?
Certainly.
Thank you. Milad, in this case, Swanson Chirrup and Verity Swankshovel are jointly charged with scrambling an egg in a policeman's helmet at St. Pancras Station.
What kind of an egg?
Irrelevant, Milad.
I didn't know they laid eggs. You learn something new every day. Carry on, Mr. Longbody.
On January the 9th, the accused was seen to enter St. Pancras Station 6 Court.
Don't you mean 4 Court?
Inflation, Milad.
I see.
They approached PC Frills.
I object.
Yes, Mr. Furbelow.
I've been waiting to do a joke for 2 pages.
Carry on, Mr. Furbelow. I'm sure Mr. Longbody won't mind.
Milad.
Too late now. It was a topical one about the Stafford Crip.
Ah, pity.
But I do have a little song entitled...
I object, my lad.
Why?
I've heard him sing.
Very well. Court adjourned for lack of jokes.
Everything I have is yours.
How did you know I was from the Inland Revenue?
And now over to the interview studio, where Harcourt Piecemeal has a very special guest.
And I am privileged to have in the studio, if you know what I mean, a distinguished guest. Oh, I see you do. A distinguished guest from America. A legendary figure, battier than Batman, more marvelous than Captain Marvel. And here he is to introduce himself.
Tremble, all you villains. Up, up, and whoopee.
Yes, it's Super Duper Man. Good evening, Super Duper Man.
Call me Soup.
Of course.
Of course.
Soup.
Witty little swine, aren't you?
Well now, Soup, in the USA, you are a one-man crusade against crime. How did this come about?
Well, love that tie. I suddenly discovered I had these extraordinary powers. You know, I could sort of fly and knock over buildings and all that sort of bush kind of gear.
And to what do you attribute these powers?
I think it may have been because I was breastfed.
But millions of children were breastfed.
Till they were 24. Anyway, I decided to use these powers only for... I'm sorry, am I spinning on you?
Yes.
I decided to use these powers only for good, so I took an ordinary job under my real name.
Which is?
Clark Kemp.
Unfortunate.
Watch it, Alice. Then when I heard of a crime being committed, I'd slip into a phone booth and change in this divine skin-tight outfit. All spangles and flashes with those gorgeous thigh boots.
Yes, and then you would... Please stop stroking my arm like that. And, please. And then you would go out and fight... I said, please. Fight the villain in hand-to-hand combat. That must have been very rewarding.
Fine.
Can you recall your first brush with thieves? I said it before. With the underworld.
Oh, vividly. Some awful men were robbing a bank in New York. So as soon as I heard, I went in a phone booth to change.
Came out as Super-Duper Man and delivered the villains to justice, eh?
No, they got clear away with all the money.
Why?
I was hours in that booth trying to decide between the red cloak and the blue. Awful.
Super-Duper Man, you're an idiot.
Because it wasn't that my varnish was still wet, I'd slap your wrist. In fact, I think I will.
Ow! Oh. And now, while I go and look for my hand, here is a spokesman from the Ministry of Environment.
Hello. Speaking as an expert from the Ministry of Education, I should... Oh, no, that was last week, sorry.
Ministry of Environment, that's it. What does it mean to you? Come to think of it, what does it mean to me? I've only been in my office 2 days and haven't had the chance to get to a dictionary yet. Just a minute, I'll ask my secretary. Thank you, Gladys. Yes, well, of course. Well, now, looking around the changing face of Britain today, I have seen many eyesores. But I can state categorically that the worst eyesore of last year was this.
I saw Mummy kissing Santa Claus.
Thank you, Max. And with that, it's off I go to be Minister of Transport. It's a prank, isn't it? I wonder what the poor people do to pass the time.
Back to the court case.
Why? My wife's out on probation. She wants me to do my order in court.
Oh, go on, then. Order in court, order in court. Continuing the case of Chirrup and Swank Shovel versus Regina.
Regina? Regina? My lord, I must protest. Who is this Regina?
Mr. Furbelow, it means queen. It is Latin for queen.
How did an Italian poof get into this case? I'm not going to play anymore. It's my wig and it's my hammer.
Shut up, blood.
Blood. Regarding this unfortunate incident at St. Pancras Station, I would like to call a surprise witness.
And so you shall, my pretty.
God love you, sir. He is well qualified to speak on the normal procedures of the station and has expert knowledge.
Are you the station master?
No, I'm St. Pancras.
Sensation in court.
You are St. Pancras?
Well, somebody's got to be, haven't they? Anyway, on the day in question, I had removed my halo for a few minutes, and I was having a couple with Elsie in the buffet. She was telling me about her feet.
Please do not digress.
Watch it, buttercup. I might just get you hit with a thunderbolt. Anyway, I heard this fracas outside, grabbed my halo and made for the scene. Then I left again immediately.
Why?
I was wearing British Rail saucer by mistake.
Blood, I would like to declare this person a hostile witness.
I would like to declare a bottle of brandy and 200 fags.
I would like to declare this bazaar well and truly open.
Thank you, Vicar. Would you like to look round?
Yes, please.
Well, eat more suet pudding.
I'm sorry, Vicar. She's been tasting the elderberry wine.
For the competition?
No, for the last 8 years. Now we've got all the women's guild doing something. Even little Mrs. Mumford.
Oh, sweet little thing. What's she doing?
She's in the fortune-telling tent reading feet.
Ah, I see you have a hidden treasure.
No, Vicar, that's the raffle prize in my pocket.
Time now for another dramatic presentation.
Oh, I've burned me bottom.
That was an excerpt from Blazing Saddles.
Meanwhile, in an artist's studio just next to his burnt umber...
Has that got anything to do with the last joke?
Shut up. Meanwhile, in an artist's studio just next to his ivory wife...
Now, my dear, stretch up. Let me see the lovely straight line of your back. Fine. Now, with your left arm, reach up. Up. More. More. I want you reaching up as far as you can.
How's that?
Fine. Now pass me down that tin of corned beef. I'm starving.
Meanwhile, in the studio across the hall, we eavesdrop on a struggling young musician.
All right, Dennis, I'm fed up struggling. Play your rotten song.
I look into your eyes, and then I realize that we are one, you and I, we are one. A glass of sparkling wine, I feel your hand on mine. Two hearts are one, you and I, we are one. But yet there's one thing more, I'll tell you if I may. It's you that I adore, but I just can't find the way to say the smell of the landing is driving me mad. It seems to be getting much worse. Beyond understanding, it's getting so bad. I'm sorry to sound rather terse. When we are romancing, I smell your perfume. My senses go reeling, it's bliss. But soon there's another perfume in the room. Oh God, can our love survive this? The smell of the landing has come between us. I regret I must be so uncouth. I'm leaving my darling, happy landing to you, and all I can say is truth.
That song was knitted by Mrs. King during a rather dull episode of Softly, Softly. And speaking of Softly, Softly, over to a police station, just next to a member of the Sweeney who is jumping on his rumpo.
Control, this is Panda 4, emergency. Control, this is Panda 4, emergency, over.
Control here, what is your emergency, Panda 4?
I've got two drunk zookeepers here who keep shoving bamboo shoots up my exhaust pipe.
I'm a personal friend of the Odeon Marble Arch, you know.
Rubbish!
What do you mean, rubbish? We went to kindergarten together.
How could an Odeon go to kindergarten?
Don't be silly, it was a sweet shop then. I think of him then in short pants and a runny nose. Who would have thought he'd grow up to have Roger Moore as a lodger?
You're talking arrant nonsense.
True, true. That was a great year, you know. All our class did well. We had a coffee shop who grew up to be Barbara Castle, an outside toilet that became Pan's People, you know. It's incredible. Mind you, the one disappointment was a lad called Max Bygrave.
What happened to him?
He didn't change.
And now, over to a musical quiz where Robin Ray is showing off.
Well, gosh, I'd like to say that, well, that was the andante passage from the third movement of a little-known symphony for sackbuttons and viola by Lucian Cremona in the late 17th century, opus number 43. You were a little naughty with me, though, weren't you, as it was played rather faster than usual.
No, Robin, that was the time signal for the 9 o'clock news.
Oh, knickers, I'm not going to play anymore.
Robin! Stop kicking Joyce Grenfell or you'll break her. She's the only one we've got.
And now we go over to the do-it-yourself studio where Dudley Function is going to tell us how to stop water coming into the house.
Stop paying your water rate!
Thank you. Man's a fool.
I say, you chaps, have you seen this bit in the paper? In the divorce court today, Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Midden were granted a divorce on the grounds that they were incompatible. He no longer had an income, and she was no longer compatible. Thank you. In this age of economy, the BB, the C is being cut to save money, has asked us to repeat our previous practice of presenting three programs at one and the same time.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
So here, for all lovers of Three at Once...
Steady on.
...we present...
Stars on Sunday...
World of Sport...
...and the ex-film, Blood of the Vampire.
Pardon?
We said...
Stars on Sunday...
World of Sport...
...and Blood of the Vampire!
Tonight I'll be reading from Matthew 4...
Aston Villa 2. A surprise result this, as Villa gambled with their side. Up front they had...
Two young maidens, a goat, and Igor the Hunchback. I discovered him...
singing with the Women's Institute Choir from Garstang. And I think this song has a message for all of us. No matter how low you are...
A knee in the groin has been known to turn the table. Is this what football has come to? Professional fouls abound. Going over the ball, frequent handling in tight corners.
Plunging a stake into the still beating heart. The only way to conquer my immortality. Each dawn I die, but at dusk I rise, swoop down upon the village, and revel in the fearful cries of the peasants.
Robert Dougal is here. And he's going to tell us about the time he...
gave Rachel Hayhoe Flint the once-over and decided she was promising material. That was a few years ago now, but Rachel is still there...
bearing her breast for my eager fangs. Oh, the ecstasy, the joy as I taste...
the mud in the gold mouth. It nearly made play impossible, but Keeper Shilton did wonders, really getting hold of the ball and...
sticking it up on his wall. He said every time he read it, he felt better, more himself, particularly...
when the full moon rose and I went forth...
with Naughty Marietta III, the favourite Easter egg...
better known as Kojak. He's going to read from St. Paul's Epistle to...
Joe Bugner, who tells me he's hoping to fight...
Clodagh Rogers...
in the shadow of Castle Dracula. When the wolfbane blooms, men cower. When they hear the cry of...
Brian Clough, who seems to have got out of the habit of thinking he is
God. And you know, I think he may be right. When all's said and done, you have to believe in something.
Even Chelsea, who seem to be playing like...
those idiots from the village. They will never understand. Who do they think they are?
Milliken and Nesbitt, you're right. Back again to sing...
like the groans of the crowd as he shot wide. He really seems to have hit a bad patch and told me he blames it on the occasion when he strained his...
test tubes. And their stupid scientific theories. They try to defeat me. I answer.
Large balls, but English golfers. English golfers seem to prefer the small ones. Peter Oosterhuis told me he was changing his 5-iron for...
a spoonful of sugar.
I'm hoping that would help the ball to...
fly into her window at midnight. There she lies. Her hair spread out on the pillow and her beautiful...
Bristol's own nail boys, who have just returned from singing at a religious festival...
in John Conte's dressing room. John looked fit and said he's recovered from that nasty little blow...
at the organ, and he's going to play... Bach.
Up front.
And then lie in the coffin. That sweet sleep of forgetfulness. And my eyes close and I pray for oblivion.
As John Hansen joins us once again.
With number 6 on his back. He really gets about this boy. One minute he's...
up on the battlement.
And the next he's...
down in the dumps, but don't despair. When everything seems hopeless, always remember...
death is always present. It takes many forms, it can be...
Des O'Connor.
Or the MCC touring team, who say that those bumpers...
were what first attracted me to her. She moved like...
an old punch bag. But he's always training, always working. This man is afraid of nobody. He'll fight...
Dana.
The whole of this so-called civilized world.
And his 80-year-old mother. She attends all his fights and often gives him advice.
Do unto others.
But make sure you get them early. There'll be no tickets on the day. Finally, cricket. The West Indian touring side have a new young player.
I, Count Dracula.
Who I hear has the makings of a pretty useful bat.
God bless you all.
Bye-bye, Cheeky. Bye-bye, Cheeky.
This program is written and performed by John Junkin, Barry Cryer and Tim Brooks Taylor. The music was played by the Dennis King Trio. And the program was produced by Bob Oliver Rogers.